Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is a special one, isn't it, Stone?
It most certainly is, and I know the professional thing to do would be immediately tee up our co-host, but first I have to ask you to ask me, where am I going this afternoon?
And where are you going this afternoon, Stone?
I am going to Italy for 12 fun-filled days with my now graduated high school daughter, Kelly. We're going to Rome, then Venice, then Florence, then Rome again. We're going to ride the Vespas. We're going to eat the Italian food. We're going to drink the wine and eat the olives. So that's what I'm doing from 4 o'clock on. You can have all of me until then.
All right. Perfect.
Now, this is going to be a fantastic segment. Please allow me to introduce Professor and Managing Director with the Racy Anderson Center for Sustainable Business out there at the Scheller College of Business at Georgia Institute of Technology. Good Lord, what a mouthful.
It
most certainly is. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Mr. Howard Connell. How are you, sir?
Excellent. Glad to be here.
So, Howard, can you share a little bit about the Racy Anderson Center for Sustainable Business? What are you guys up to?
Absolutely. So we're a center at the business school at Georgia Tech. Got started about 2 years ago. So increasingly students, as well as companies, as well as other organizations are talking about this big word, sustainability. It's quite a buzzword these days.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about sustainability to be a very broad definition. So we're talking about the environmental concerns, social concerns, opportunities, cost savings, business opportunity, those sorts of things in a business context, since we're the business school.
Sure.
And so the center was launched to help engage students, teach students, engage organizations, bring organizations into the school and companies to help teach students, to work with faculty, and sort of across the board bring sustainability more into the business school education.
Now, is there a degree in sustainability, or it's a subset of another degree?
So at the graduate level, there's MBA students, and we have a sustainability concentration, but not a degree. So it's a typical MBA degree where they have to do the core curriculum that every MBA student has to do. And then at the undergraduate level, they're just getting a Bachelor of Business, and then they can take sustainability classes. And over time, we are looking at doing a sustainability major potentially across Georgia Tech.
Are there any other colleges that have sustainability majors?
There are. So business schools over the past about 10 or 15 years have increasingly been launching centers of this sort because there's such an increased need and discussion, and businesses are asking for that, as well as students are wanting to work in this area within the field of business.
Mm-hmm.
So there are more centers doing this. There are some that actually have, quote, sustainability degrees, and there are others that are a traditional MBA program where you can include sustainability in your education, and that's very much what Georgia Tech and the Scheller College are doing.
So now, as the managing director of the center, how are you attacking this? Are you kind of reaching out to businesses and getting their input, or do you have some model in your head of how to roll this out?
Well, being a business strategist, and that's what we teach, we certainly do have a model. And we look across three different groups that we work with: students in education, organizations, which would include companies and local and regional government, as well as nonprofits, and then research, which will be faculty research and teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And so for students, we teach classes that are focused on sustainability, and we also are in the process of integrating sustainability teaching into the core curriculum and education process over time. And then with companies, we work with companies both to bring them into the classroom for projects, for guest lectures, et cetera. And then we also work with companies on helping them understand the trends in sustainability and see if and when and how they should be acting on sustainability. And then within research, we help fund faculty research related to sustainability in various disciplines.
So now when you're funding that kind of research, you're working hand in hand with these companies and organizations. They say, hey, we have this need. Can you help us, you know, do research on this? Or are you guys saying, hey, well, you have this research, and then you're finding companies to partner with?
It works in both ways. There are oftentimes companies that are absolute leaders in sustainability. In fact, I brought guests from two of those companies into the studio today that we'll talk with in a minute. And they have expertise and they can come in and help teach students, guest lecture on classes, bring in projects because of the way that they're attacking sustainability opportunities within their company. Mm-hmm. But then there are other companies who are just hearing about it. They know that it's an important business dynamic. They don't quite know if they should do anything, when they should do it, what it should be. And so they come to us actually seeking input and guidance, which can either be directly with faculty, directly with our center, or through student projects. We actually put student projects together to work on challenges with companies. So that's a great opportunity for companies to get input into the possibilities, as well as students to get real life experiential learning while they're there.
So I want to get the Howard backstory before we visit with these two gentlemen that you were talking about a moment ago. How did you get started with this whole business of sustainability? You were minding your own business, teaching something else, and someone in administration came to you, or you got fired up at something you saw, or what?
I was actually not teaching anything. I got the moniker professor put before my name less than 2 years ago now. So I was in business, and for just to go back a little bit further, I grew up, my dad was an outdoorsman. We went camping, did Boy Scouts and whatnot, and I had a bit of a conservation mindset growing up. And I was finishing business school and working in an area of business that I decided I wasn't necessarily that passionate about, and heard about this thing called socially responsible investing, which was the first time that I had heard about something that was mainstream business that also touched on conservation and protecting the environment. And it seemed at the time that there was a trend of there are problems in big business and solutions would need to be found over time. And then I went on a career path that took me from investment management and socially responsible investing to get my MBA, and then into consulting, working with companies on all sorts of business solutions, but always with an eye of when is sustainability going to be a part of management education, of management process. And luckily, sort of right place at the right time. My most recent position was with Kimberly-Clark, leading sustainability strategy for their business-to-business unit. And then was, as we teach students all the time, I was just networking, talking about what I'm passionate about, and was talking to the right people at Georgia Tech, unbeknownst that the center had been launched, and was looking for a managing director. And so was at the right place at the right time, and am there to both manage the center and help create and teach classes.
Now, how is social responsibility and sustainability connected?
There are a lot of, depending on who you talk to, there are a lot of different points of view on that. There's sort of a gamut from pure philanthropy, where you're just giving to a nice cause that's not necessarily connected to the business, to strategic philanthropy, where you're more aligned with that, to social responsibility of making sure that your company is thinking about its responsibility to society and the communities in which you operate and those sorts of things. And then sustainability, some people would say it's just environmental sustainability and just focusing on protecting the environment.
It sounded like you guys defined it broader than that.
Our umbrella that we put sustainability under includes all of that.
What about conscious capitalism, like the Whole Foods guy is behind?
Yes, absolutely.
So that fits under that as well?
It does. Pretty much, I would say anything where you're thinking about business and society in a business context, whether that's corporate or entrepreneurial or social entrepreneurs, but where you're trying to be responsible for the way that you do business and thinking about the context of society and the environment in which your organization operates.
So that additional bottom line, you know, where the community and the environment come into play as well. You're judging yourself by those things as well, not just like profits or...
Absolutely. So being in a business school context, it's very much about creating value in businesses, which the easy thing to look at is cost savings by reducing energy waste and those sorts of things. But because this is such an increasingly visible issue and challenge when people talk about global warming, about resource scarcity globally, about conflict and social unrest, anything where you are looking at that and building your business, which is very much also about new markets, new products, new business opportunities.
Well, why don't we get into it with some of your guests? Who have you brought with you today?
Absolutely. So I'd first like to introduce John Gardner, who is the Vice President and Chief Sustainability Officer for Novellus. And I will let him tell us who Novellus is.
All right, John.
Hey, good morning.
Welcome.
Good morning, buongiorno.
All right, you got to get in there close.
There you go.
karaoke close.
So thank you very much for the invitation, and particularly for Howard and the great team at the Snellis mm-hmm. Business School. So Novellus is the world's largest aluminum roll products and also the aluminum recycling company. We're based in down the road in Buckhead, and we're very much trying to be thinking about sustainability and building it into our strategic modeling and helping us grow our business for the future.
So now, how did you connect with Georgia Tech?
We've been getting increasingly active on sustainability over the last 4 or 5 years.
Well, it's kind of built into your business, right?
Absolutely.
Recycling
absolutely.
Is a key part of your business.
Absolutely, and increasingly so. So 5 years ago, we really got serious on this and got pretty aggressive, ambitious on our business model and how we were going to grow the business, with sustainability as the mm-hmm. as the key part of that. And we've been developing our links with many different stakeholders, and about the same time as we were really starting to move forward on this, Howard was appointed into his role pretty much the same time as I moved in Novellus into sustainability. So it linked together very nicely.
And then how do you work together?
So as Howard mentioned earlier, we've got some very good links with the school. It's very, very helpful for us to work with very smart students that Howard has got in his group. We've been using their great skills on a number of different projects that we've had. We've given some teaching input into the program, and also having the business school help facilitate with different people that maybe we wouldn't come into contact on mm-hmm. a normal basis. Yeah, we've got some very interesting discussions and partnerships that are developing because of that.
Now, can you share maybe an example of how you had an initiative maybe internally, and then you reached out to the school and some of the students to help you with the research part of it?
Yeah, sure. We've had a number of different areas where we're doing some internal thinking. One example is we've been trying to expand our recycling programs globally. We were looking at new markets. We've been recycling things like beverage cans, packaging, automotive
right.
for many years, and we were starting to think about consumer electronics. And we had some bright students from the school came and helped us think about looking at the situation in recycling of post-consumer electronics goods around the world, not just in Georgia, but globally. And we had some very good research work and some good proposals and recommendations how we should move that forward. So very helpful for us to have new kind of thinking to help drive us forward.
Howard?
And yeah, I would say that's an ideal example of the types of connections we want to make, because that included working with a company who was seeing a trend and a need that they wanted attacked. We included students, so students got to learn and got that experiential learning opportunities. But we also included faculty, in that we have a number of faculty at the business school who have sustainability as one of their research focus areas within
right.
their particular discipline. So we have an operations management professor, Professor Atasu, who is a leading global expert in supply chains, as specifically in electronics and recycling. And so he was an advisor to the students to very quickly get them pointed in the right direction and get them resources that they might have struggled with finding as students if they didn't have that.
And that's an example where this company has a need. They can go to the center and you can kind of quarterback and match the right resources for them. And then would you then go and present to that professor, and that professor presents to the students, or is it really a collaborative undertaking?
It's very collaborative. Can be either way. We've taught part of the program.
So you've actually taught? So yeah. Some people in your Novellis are actually in there, standing in front of the class?
Absolutely. And we've had some very good, very good sessions, very interactive sessions, which has been very good. We've had professors talking about some of our business issues and mm-hmm. talking to the class about some of our challenges and testing the group on where we should be going next.
What a wonderful thing for the students. I mean, you're getting it from the horse's mouth. This isn't theoretical. This is real life in real time.
Absolutely real life, absolute big challenges. And it's a fantastic opportunity. It's also very good for Novellis. It helps bring different thinking into our minds. And secondly, we're seeing this wonderful talent in front of us.
That might be a future employee, right?
Exactly.
And it's also great because not only do students and professors see from different companies, but Novellis, for example, has been engaged in my sustainability classes and projects, as well as our core strategy classes and projects. And so mm-hmm. it's not just that students see this one company in this one class about sustainability. They actually see Novellis across other parts of the curriculum as well as Cox Enterprises, who we're going to speak with in a moment. And others.
Did you have this in journalism school? I got a marketing degree, and I got really good at table tennis and shot a pretty good game of pool, but I don't remember like a real person from a real company coming in and talking to us about their marketing challenges. Or did you have a little bit of that?
We did have it when I was in
school.
Wow,
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, but it gives you that real life. I mean, that elevates it from, you know, reading something in a book to actually you're part of the actual experience, and you're seeing what it really is. Like, not how you imagine it to
Absolutely.
Be. Now, is there something that surprised you about being involved in this, or is this coming out exactly as you thought?
we've been fantastically pleased with the enthusiasm and the passion that the students have had for trying to make good business better and making it more sustainable. And they've been, I've been very, very happy with the engagement we've had, the level of interest. And their excitement, so it's been very, very good for us.
So you think this is something positive that you'll continue to do?
Absolutely. We want to absolutely work and grow with Howard and the team.
Now, Howard, that has to make you feel pretty good.
It absolutely does. We are very appreciative of Novellis and the other companies that support us in so many different ways. We could not bring the level of education and sort of interactivity to students, as well as engagement with faculty and their research, which is critical as well, without companies like Novellis coming forth and committing the time and energy that's required to engage in this way. It's great.
Now, the program is relatively new, and it's, I would imagine, kind of a living, breathing thing. How do you see it expanding as you move forward?
Sure. We're still very much in startup mode, trying to grow and figure out all the right steps to take forward. One exciting thing that we're very excited about is that Georgia Tech, every university, every 10 years, has to reaccredit themselves. And as part of that, there is this, in my opinion, poorly named program called the Quality Enhancement Plan. But it's essentially what is the university, not just at the business school level, but the entire Georgia Tech University, what are they going to do to change the undergraduate student experience over the next 10 years? And it's a competitive proposal process that professors and departments from all over the school put forward. And for this upcoming one, it has been decided and approved that it's going to be building sustainable communities. So it's about sustainability and community engagement. And so that's going to be both at the business school, but also the School of Engineering, School of Architecture, et cetera. And so that's a way for Georgia Tech to commit to sustainability and bring in more experiential learning and those sorts of things.
And that's university-wide.
That's university-wide, which will, we will be the sort of focal point of how we do that within the business school. But then separately from that, we're also going to integrate sustainability teaching more within both the undergraduate and MBA curriculum so that mm-hmm. it's not just students who enroll in an elective to come learn about it, but they actually learn about, hey, when we're looking at strategy, when we're looking at supply chain,
sustainability
is an important dynamic. Sustainability sort of touches everything within business now, and we want to make sure that students who are getting a great business school education realize that it's an important business dynamic, not just about doing the right thing.
Right, it's not
if
just tacked
to.
On. Right.
Exactly.
Now, John, that seems to be congruent with the way Novellus thinks, right? That sustainability is just built into your business model.
Absolutely, and you know, we see it as a key part of our growth for the future, and our view is that sustainability will really help us gain some competitive differentiation and make sure that the business is growing and prospering in the next 50-100 years. And I'd like to just say that partnering with Georgia Tech and the business school has been, you know, very, very good for us. We work with a handful of universities globally in this area, and I'm very, very pleased that that Georgia Tech is in the handful of fantastically competitive universities globally that are moving forward on sustainability.
And I got to add, it's a really fun thing to be involved with, because here we are teaching business, and we're not just teaching operations, you know, what is queuing theory and what's the best way to optimize a model. We're actually helping business students who want to learn all of that also make a huge difference in the world. And, you know, 20 years ago when I was in school, this is just an area that if you happen to be passionate about it and you happen to see that, you might be able to take a few things here and there. But now you hear about it, it's on headlines all the time. You know, there are global challenges that this generation will be facing. And over the next several decades of these students' careers, that's going to be sort of the core time that business globally has to figure out. How do we continue to provide products and services to, you know, the growing consumers across the planet and the growing population that's there, but how do we do it in a way that preserves our resources and is responsible so that we don't sort of trash the planet along the way?
And the really good thing, that's really having a big impact on where people want to go and work. The young graduates that we're hiring, sustainability is number one or number two in their list of priorities.
Right, that, the mission and the big why is important to this generation.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, John, for being part of the show today.
Thank you very much for having us, and let's keep moving forward and being sustainable and recycling.
Yeah, how about the Novellus website for people who are interested?
www.novellus.com, and we've got a very nice background about what we're trying to do and where we're doing good, where we're doing less well, and where we're going to be improving.
Well, thank you so much for being part of the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
All right, Howard, who you got? Who else?
Before I introduce the next guest, I just wanted to mention that when John mentioned the website and where they're doing well and maybe where they're not, that's actually a trend that companies everywhere are reporting on sustainability very specifically. And for those who may not sort of realize what an important business dynamic this now is, pretty much any company, you can type in the company's name and sustainability, and you're going to find a website and most likely a sustainability report that actually says, here are our operations, here's where our biggest impact is, and here are the goals that we're really going to push our whole company towards. And so that's an increasing trend for people to be aware
of. And that level of transparency and authenticity is important for new employees. I think that's an important driver for the younger people today.
Absolutely. And I think companies who are often sort of confronted with a challenging new area that they may not know exactly where to stand on it, and they're not exactly sure of the business value, is that authenticity part is very important. I think some companies are reporting, and they think they're reporting the right thing, but it's sort of more of like, hey, we're green, we're trying to do good.
Right.
And then when you really press them, it's like, No. You have serious impact. You need to take this seriously and report on it, and then they become more authentic and greater in their disclosure. And
I would think that's where a center like yours comes into play, where you can educate them and help them better communicate that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. For companies who that's where they are in the journey, absolutely. So the next guest that came in with us today that I'd like to introduce is Robert Ferry from Cox Enterprises. Robert, if you could tell us about what you do and Cox for, I imagine most people know who Cox is, but for those that don't.
They do lots of things.
Well, Howard, thank you very much for having us in this morning and all the great work that the center and the students have done on projects over the last year and a half.
Yeah, absolutely. Cox has been our most involved company when it comes to number of projects.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can you talk about Cox Enterprises specifically? What are you guys up to?
Well, we're a 117-year-old company based here in Atlanta, a leading communications and automotive company. And we have major subsidiaries like Cox Communications, Cox Media Group, Cox Automotive. You probably recognize some of our brands here in Atlanta, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, WSB Radio, and WSB Channel 2. We have 50,000 employees. We're across five continents, and our major national sustainability program is called Cox Conserves. Mm-hmm. And it's really based on really three main goals, zero waste to landfill by 2024 and water and carbon neutrality by 2044. And it really goes beyond that. You know, we do a lot of things with our operations, but it's also getting our employees engaged, empowering them and their families to do eco-friendly, environmentally sound projects in their communities where they live.
So now, like, you don't think of like a radio station or a TV station as having that big of an environmental impact. How does that come into play?
Well, all of our programming here is dolphin safe and gluten free. I know that.
Does that count?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, radio, television, you have a lot of lighting. You know, we've converted lighting to LED, which is, you know, energy efficient lighting, reduces our carbon footprint. We also have, you know, HVAC controls, reducing kilowatt hour consumption. So there's a lot of things that you can do, more efficient equipment.
Mm-hmm. And I'll actually add to that, that I had the sort of same question when I was like, oh, Cox, okay, sustainability. What exactly does that mean?
Like recycle the newspaper? You know, like, you know.
We do. We recycle.
I'm sure that's part of it.
But two of the student projects that were sort of very tied to exactly that question, one was with Cox Communications about reducing waste at their distribution centers. So if mm-hmm. you think about it, the set-top boxes get sent in the mail, and there's boxes there, and there's equipment that needs to be right. recycled and kept in. And then there's the trucks that are, there's the 18-wheelers driving all these things around to the distribution right. centers, and then there's the on-the-ground trucks that are in the neighborhood. And so the students actually looked at that entire network and said, where are the greatest opportunities to further reduce waste? That was one great example. Another one that was very impressive, and I'm glad we had the right team for it, was that Cox has done a really great job of figuring out how they're going to reduce water, energy for their buildings. So when you're running HVAC, how do you reduce the actual amount of energy that's being used in our machines? But once we do that, and once we make the HVAC as efficient as it can be, the building itself actually lets a lot of that stuff out. It's called the building envelope, which was a term that I didn't even know particularly well before this whole project came about. We had a student that was in the class who was actually an expert in this area who was working on his MBA, and they did a project for Cox looking at really going out over the next, you know, decade and beyond. How are we going to think about that one piece that's really, really difficult for us to get our arms around and understand? Mm-hmm. And they sort of did that. What's that leading thinking going to be? And so those are two examples of, even though Cox, you don't necessarily think of the sort of materials component of it, was exactly perfect for a sustainability project for students.
And I would imagine that there's a lot of companies who don't think of themselves as having much environmental impact, but when you start kind of analyzing it or looking at it through that prism, then there is a large impact in a lot of companies.
Right. You would think that any company that can create $1 billion plus in revenues, and a lot of these mm-hmm. companies are 10 billion and plus, is going to have a lot of impact of some sort, even right. though, even if it's not obvious.
Right.
Well, and they have like 50,000 plus employees, and you're educating and encouraging them to be eco-friendly and sustainable as well. So that has to leave a real mark. Yeah.
It really does, and you know, it's amazing the passion that's out there across the company and all our divisions, and the ideas that the employees come up with. And we have a program called the Chairman's Cup, and that's a way for our employees to bring their ideas. We vote on it, and each division is given a winner, and then there's an overall winner.
What are some of the ideas that have bubbled up through that?
Well, it has anything to do from, you know, how do we remove styrofoam cups out of the cafeteria? You know, that's come up and implemented across many locations. It could be, how can we think about equipment that we're using, and can we make enhancements to it? Or when it comes time for replacement, what are the things, the criteria that we would look for in making those replacements?
And so from a business education point of view, that's really important for two different reasons. One, if a company can really engage the entire employee base about what the company is trying to do to be a more responsible company, be it in sustainability or other areas, that really creates more engagement, lower turnover, greater sort of engagement and output, if you want to call that, of employees. And being able to ask the on-the-ground employees, what should we do to improve this? Because the people at the head of the Cox Conserves or Sustainability Department aren't aware of all the things that need to happen because they're not the ones that are on the ground seeing the individual, you know, day-to-day things that need to be changed. And being able to engage the employees to get those ideas to bubble up is a great business approach.
Now, are you finding that more and more companies have this kind of sustainability program built into their company and they're putting a body on it?
It varies a lot. There are companies that have, I think at first there was a trend where you would build a sustainability quote department and there would be specific people just focused on sustainability. Mm-hmm. And increasingly companies are realizing that that's, you know, a bit of a an ivory tower of sorts, and you need to have these people embedded within the business. If you think about quality back in the 80s, there was a quality department,
right?
But you really need a quality control person on each line at each manufacturing plant. At each,
well, if you're
each
serious
place.
About it, then you
absolutely,
you got to kind of be all in, right?
And you'll still have the leader sort of at the corporate division to help, mm-hmm. you know, connect with corporate wide strategy and whatnot, but you really need people embedded across the business. And different businesses are at different places within the evolution of determining how they engage with sustainability.
Now, Robert, are you seeing at Cox that you guys, it's that baked in?
Absolutely. I mean, it's all the way from the Cox family, executive and senior leadership that just really support us. It embraced the entire sustainability program, and that really transcends all the way down to all of our employees. And a really great example, we did a project at in Mannheim, New England, which is outside Boston. We built it's 3.5 megawatt facility. We're selling energy back to the local utility under a long-term basis. And we're producing enough solar energy to offset what 400 homes would consume.
Wow.
And we also built a trail where students could come through and on an ongoing basis learn and understand what you know, solar energy is about, how it's produced. And one of the employees' daughters went through that trail, and what she did for her project was she converted her room to solar so that all the equipment inside of her room she could run off of solar power. and she actually run made it you know, up to the state level in terms of the...
So like her computer or iPad or whatever she has?
That's right. And the fan, whatever it was. Yeah. So that's exciting to see. You know, and that's what it's all about, is, you know, taking those types of practices. And, you know, we have a lot of partnerships with Ocean Conservancy, with American Rivers, the Trust for Public Land. And, you know, all the small things that we can do along the way, it really makes a difference.
Now, how is Cox working with the center? Are you guys doing what Novellus was doing in terms of you're putting people teaching and
Professor Robert?
Have you had a chance to stand up in front of the students?
Well, we have, you know, given, you know, the presentation of the project that, you know, we would like them to help us out with. So I've done that, but I have not...
not yet?
You know, got into any physics problems or anything.
So I want to ask this. Cox, clearly you've hit your stride in this regard, and now it's a matter of keeping it dynamic and live and fresh. But any counsel, if you have it, for the company that's trying to get a sustainability program off the ground, because I wonder if maybe you wouldn't meet with some initial resistance, a few rolled eyes, oh, here we go again. You know, Stone read an article on the plane, and now he wants Business Radio X to be sustainable. Counsel, if any, that you have on managing that change.
That's a great question. And, you know, we actually did a study with small businesses, and we found that over 65% of the corporate leaders said, you know, we think that we can do more. But a lot of the questions are, like you say, how do we start? How do we get started? We are in our second year of a sustainability summit at Cox. And what we do is, and we invite suppliers, vendors to come in, and we have presentations from other companies who have done sustainable projects, programs that they've implemented. And it's also a chance for them to ask a lot of those questions of how do we get started. And it's amazing some of the conversations that bubble up out of that. And what we get back, the feedback is that, you know what, here's what we did. We started out with a small recycling program at these locations, and we diverted, you know, so many tons away from landfill during the six-month period. So it's really neat.
Now, does it evolve to the point, and Howard, maybe you can weigh in on this, where the company can say, look, if you want to play with Cox, this is these are the rules of engagement that we expect this kind of sustainability in your, as a vendor?
Well, we do. We have a scoring matrix, and we are asking companies to fill out forms and information about what they're doing around water, carbon, and waste. And so it certainly is a component that we look at.
And that's where you really can leverage this, right?
It's where you can leverage it, and it's also when you say how do companies get started, as a business school teacher, I always want to say look for the business value. And more and more across supply chain, so companies telling their vendors that they need to be more sustainable in their operations, because a company, if it's trying to be more sustainable, a large portion of their impact is the embedded impact in the products that they pull in, whether it's the raw materials or the things that they use to run their business.
So that's some of the low-hanging fruit is by kind of getting your vendors on board as well?
I wouldn't necessarily call it low-hanging fruit. There's something that I refer to as the Walmart effect, which is Walmart said several years ago, we are going to require all of our suppliers, starting with our top 100. And if you think about consumer packaged goods, that's everybody you could ever come up with. And so all of those companies are now saying, whoa, Walmart is by far our largest customer. We have to make sure we're ready for this. And so they are now talking to all of their suppliers, and then those suppliers are talking to their suppliers. So it really changed the world of business when it comes to sustainability. And now other companies, Cox and whatnot, are doing the same thing. And it is, I wouldn't call it low-hanging fruit, because it's not easy. Supply chains are complicated, and supply chains were not built. Supply chains and information systems that these companies use were not built to include a lot of that sustainability measures. Like how much water and how much energy is embedded in a product is not part of the way a lot of manufacturing firms were designed in the first place, other than for regulatory requirements. Mm-hmm. And these things go far beyond that. So the business need an opportunity across supply chain, information systems, metrics, all of those things, IT, is just incredible. And there's huge business opportunity. There's new businesses being developed, entire new industries of how do we report on this? How do we help companies do these things? Not quite low-hanging fruit.
But it has a tremendous impact, though.
Absolutely.
When they're able to get all their vendors, and their vendors then have to get their vendors, that's where you really
exactly
see a big
and when
difference.
You think about that all happening on the operation side of companies, and then if you look out to the world, and you know, if you ask any person growing up today, what are you know the things that you're the most worried about? You know, the health of the planet and climate change are somewhere on that list, and that wasn't true at all, or certainly to a much lesser extent, even 5 or 10 years ago. So if you look at companies really trying to reduce their impact on operations, and then people in general being more and more aware, there's a marketing and business development and sort of new products and solutions side to all of that. And that's why we say that sustainability, you know, it's not a core functional area that you only need to worry about if you care about it and are interested about it, but it's a business dynamic that's affecting sort of across the business, all industries, sort of all functions across the board.
So what's next for Cox? How are you going to continue to leverage the center at Georgia Tech?
Well, we're going to hopefully have an opportunity to work with their fall students. You know, they've done three projects for us, did a tremendous job. One of the ones that Howard did mention was at our Atlanta Journal-Constitution location. And it's a project where we're very close to getting to a really great milestone in zero waste landfill at that particular location. So really excited about that. And Howard's students came in to help us with a piece that we were trying to solve, trying to figure out. And there's a lot of logistics involved. There is, you know, some material that some strapping, things like that. What do we do with this? How do we deal with it? How do we train our employees? And they did a great job. So hopefully we'll continue to do projects like that in other markets.
And then when you have a best practice from the AJC here, then you can move it out to your other newspapers around the country,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And one area that I'll say that Robert wasn't going to bring up because I haven't brought it up yet. During the first year or so of our program, and we're just coming up to the end of 2 years, we're very focused on students, classroom experience, projects, and that's why that's been the main example so far. An area that we want to start growing into more is facilitating discussions between companies and our faculty, both at the business school as well as across Georgia Tech, on sustainability challenges and where is there a particular challenge that's not, you know, let's have a student project due for 10 weeks, but what is a really big challenge that there's some serious sort of academic research that could help the issue. And we're going to be engaging more and more companies on where are there opportunities for those types of things, because project-based work is great for students, very important, very helpful to companies, but true change in terms of the sort of several decades out change that has to happen is some much more complex issues, and academic research is an area that can sort of help lead the way on some of the more challenging pieces that we want to start getting companies involved in as well.
So then in order, can you talk about how you facilitate that? Because that seems at a much higher strategic level.
It is. It's creating and cultivating networks of faculty who have sustainability or sustainability relevant issues as part of their research area. Mm-hmm. We want to support the faculty who are already at Georgia Tech who are in that area very much and encourage them. And then we want to attract more faculty of that sort to Georgia Tech. And then working with them to say, what are the types of challenges that your research is most applicable to? And then finding companies and engaging in discussions with companies about what are some of the biggest challenges that you have, and just trying to facilitate those networks and creating symposiums and roundtable discussions, either around certain topics across many companies or with one company specifically with several different faculty.
So what do you think of that, Robert? You in?
We're in.
Exactly.
Well, I know you got to go. Is there some website for Cox that people, if they want to learn more about this, they can go to?
Yes, our Cox Conserves website is www.coxconserves.com. And please take a look and see the many projects that we've done in markets across the country.
And then the students that have worked with you, do you look at those as candidates for employment? Has that ever had an occurrence for you guys?
Yes.
Has that happened?
Yes, it has. You know, we're just seeing some extremely bright students that, and you get an opportunity to see how they work in a team environment and, you know, just the ideas that they generate. And so it's a great platform for us to look at students.
And talent acquisition, that's a challenge right. For every company nowadays, right?
Right.
Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Thanks for the opportunity to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming in.
So your co-host snuck a Milky Way while he's chewing. our next guest has been very patient, but I've seen her nodding her head a great deal. Our listeners don't have the benefit of viewing this, but I'm sure everyone in the room recognizes, and I'm sure you're asked this many times, you know you look just like the lady on Downton Abbey.
I get that all the time.
I figured you probably did. So please join me in welcoming to the broadcast with the City of Atlanta Director of the Office of Sustainability, Ms. Stephanie Stuckey Benfield. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Thank you. And you can call me Lady Grantham if you like.
Very nice.
So you've just worked this the whole Downton Abbey thing into your life now. Okay, grab the mic. You got to get a little closer. Talk about the City of Atlanta. What do you guys, what's the Office of Sustainability up to there?
Okay, so I am a lawyer. I'm going to start with a brief disclaimer. This is my second week on the job.
Oh, wow.
So I hope PolitiFact is not listening, and hopefully I won't say anything that's out of line. I'm still very much getting up to speed on all the many things that this office is doing. But the Office of Sustainability, like we've heard in other conversations about how at Georgia Tech, sustainability and with Novellus and with Cox Enterprises, sustainability is really infusing all aspects of the businesses and the university. City of Atlanta, that's what the Office of Sustainability is mm-hmm. doing as well, is that we're trying to make sure that we are infused in all the different areas of government and to make Atlanta a greener and more livable place to be. So some examples of the initiatives that, fortunately, I get to just work on the momentum that's already been built. Mm-hmm. So that makes my job a lot easier. But some of the initiatives is certainly the energy efficiency. Recently, Atlanta is a leader in the Southeast. They have the strongest energy efficiency ordinance for commercial buildings, and that passed on April 20th. We've also got an RFP out on energy savings performance contracting that's going to improve the energy efficiency of Atlanta's municipal buildings. Streetcars up and running, and shameless plug for our wonderful mayor. It's free. He's made the streetcar free for all users between now and year's end.
Wow.
Nice. We're partnering with the Beltline. Recycling is and waste diversion is an area where we continue to improve. I'm looking for partnerships with Novellus. I was nodding enthusiastically on the styrofoam. That is my personal pet peeve. I do not like styrofoam. By the way, you have it in your break room. So, I will personally send you all some recyclable hot cups. It is a challenge that we all face. So that's just a sampling of the work that the city's doing.
Can we talk a little bit about the Beltline? Because that's I think that that's an area we should be really proud of, the way that we've been able to create that from the railroad lines. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I am not fully versed on the Beltline. I actually have a meeting this week with their director, so I'll be better informed in a week. But I know that the Beltline is, you know, off to, they've been making tremendous progress. I was just on the Beltline this weekend. And I know more and more the city is encouraging its residents to use the Beltline. For example, I use the Beltline going to the Jazz Fest.
Mm-hmm.
So we're continuing to expand the Beltline and work on acquisitions.
Now, Howard, jump in here.
Yes, sir.
You want to introduce?
Well, yeah, I just thought it would be good to have both Stephanie and Rohit introduced now because they're both very much focused on the City of Atlanta and making Atlanta a more engaged and inclusive and green city.
All right, jump in.
Rohit Malhotra of the Center for Civic Innovation, thanks for coming in with us.
Thanks for having me.
Could you give us a few words for those that do not know what the Center for Civic Innovation is and is doing and how sustainability relates to that as well?
Sure. So, for us, it's less of looking at how do we make that next building beautiful and pretty, or how Phillips Arena can be the next, big thing. For us, it's looking at public sector inefficiency that's specifically targeting individuals who are suffering from low upward mobility. Atlanta has a real challenge ahead of itself. You have the highest income inequality in the country. You have one of the lowest upward mobilities in the country. It is a real challenge. So when we're talking about sustainability, it's so important for us to really look at what are some of the challenges that we can't build walls around. We can talk about building better buildings on the west side of Atlanta, but you can't ignore that the soil is contaminated. You can talk a lot about moving people, up the ladder into a job at Enterprise, but it's very difficult to talk about those folks who are stuck and stuck with some pretty serious circumstances. So the point of the center is really, let's take these challenges, let's look them in the eye, let's take real data, make real data-driven decisions based upon what's going on in our city. And for us, you know, our focus is twofold. One is public sector inefficiency. So where are there ways where government and nonprofits can do better? And civic engagement. Not only can they do better, but where can we engage people who are already on the ground doing amazing things? And, you know, we're lucky to have someone like Stephanie in the role of the Office of Sustainability, because she gets it, that entrepreneurs can find these new and different solutions to solving challenges that cities face. And without those types of partnerships, we're not really going to move forward. And we're always going to talk about sustainability as recycling and pretty green things rather than real challenges that cities face. And I think, you know, Cox Enterprise is awesome. But what they're doing best around sustainability is actually investing in food initiatives. Their Food Well Alliance initiative is one of the best initiatives that this city has seen in years, that they're investing in entrepreneurs finding new solutions to food challenges. That's the real opportunity for businesses, in my opinion.
And isn't this, Howard, good for Anderson Center for Sustainable Business? This is where you can really come in and make an impact and be the kind of the matchmaker of connecting these kind of government, the nonprofit, and the businesses together so that they can all work together?
Absolutely. I think such connections would happen anyway, even if we did not exist, because Rohit and Stephanie are so good at reaching out and connecting to the right groups. But we're another one of those groups. And, you know, Scheller and Georgia Tech are wanting to engage both nationally and regionally, but also locally on how can we work with different organizations, companies, nonprofits, the city, on helping find solutions or getting students to be involved in projects or looking at potential, you know, entrepreneurial or employee opportunities. And so I'm really excited about what's going on with the Center for Civic Innovation, with what's happening at Georgia Tech, with Stephanie in this role, with Mayor Reed and what Mayor Reed and other people within local government are doing. There's so much need and opportunity, as Rohit very clearly articulated. But finally, I feel like the right resources and players are in place at all of these different institutions for serious change to happen. And I feel like Atlanta is at the sort of fulcrum point where there's a lot that's already going on that's great, but that's going to accelerate, and there's going to be so much example that I think both Georgia Tech and Atlanta and the center and whatnot are going to be a model and example that cities around the world can look at about how do you really solve these problems in more engaged and effective ways. That's one of the great things about the center is that Rohit, with his previous experience and his dissertation work, has very unique models and ways to engage entrepreneurial mindsets and entrepreneurs for innovative solutions to problems that nonprofits and government have been trying to solve for decades and are not doing it nearly as successfully as or efficiently as possible.
But you mentioned early on in the conversation that a lot of companies initially, when it came to sustainability, you know, just tacked the word green on their website and, you know, they gave kind of lip service to it. It seems that you guys are in a position to really kind of hold the companies to the fire here and to really help them leverage it and to really integrate it into their business.
Absolutely. And I'd say not, I wouldn't say hold them to the fire, but show and enable the opportunities that are there, because it's not just you need to do the right thing. It's truly a business need and an opportunity. And so we very much want to engage with companies that need to do that more and more and are either seeking it or needing the extra help or resources, but then using organizations and connecting with organizations like the Center for Civic Innovation and the mayor's office on helping the entrepreneurial community and the city engage and support those companies in better ways.
And then when you're saying better ways, are you saying that by doing this, it makes good business sense, that it's nice to be good to the community and all that's nice and it sounds good and it's good PR thing, but you have financial proof that this is something that makes business sense so that companies of all kinds will, you know, choose sustainability?
I think the answer is different for every company, depending on exactly what their impact is and their markets and whatnot. But in general, yes, there are environmental problems, social problems, civic problems in the city and across the world. And businesses that have the resources, both in terms of people and capabilities, as well as money, to invest in some of these solutions is going to create better markets, bigger markets, more opportunities for what innovative product and solutions are. Companies know that that's true, but they don't necessarily know how to do it as a big company. So being able to engage with entrepreneurs and organizations like the Civic for Civic Innovation to help come up with those solutions and connect in those ways is just a great opportunity for all.
Can I just add, I think more and more also investors and shareholders are looking for that in a company. And then from the government perspective, constituents and voters want to see their elected officials making decisions that are good for the environment and creating policy that's going to protect our natural environment. And then in the nonprofit sector, that's what funders are looking for too. Yep. So it's not just that it makes good business sense. You're seeing that this groundswell from the bottom up, that this is what people are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
If you opened up the data on this, it's a can of worms. It is. You have Hurricane Sandy. When it hit, it cost the country $65 billion. It wasn't free. These are real challenges that when they happen, we don't think about those costs. We wait for them. When we look at the recent transportation bill that was passed, you know, a heavy push from the Metro Atlanta Chamber and the business community to get a transportation bill passed. You got a Republican Speaker of the House who's fighting against his own party to say, hey, we got to get this done. And still, the number that we needed to actually start looking at new solutions, we didn't hit that. But we hit a number that will make sure at least the bridges we have won't fall apart. Sustainability is a citywide issue that has real cost to it to everyone, and particularly to the city itself. And it's so important that we look that in the eye. I think way too often we get away with just coloring, you know, making your logo green for a month, and all of a sudden you're a sustainable company. That's not the way it works. This is a real challenge that is going to be a disaster for us if we don't look it in the eye.
Now, how would you recommend that companies look it in the eye?
First of all, you have to start innovating and trying something new or different. So investing in these new governments can't. If you look at the budget of Metro Atlanta or you look at the budget of Atlanta, it is naturally smaller than other Metro Atlanta areas. Metro areas across the country, because the population of Atlanta is a lot smaller than the taxpaying population is a lot smaller than the number of millions of people who are coming into it each and every day.
Right.
So what we have to start, they don't have enough money to keep trying new or different solutions. It's very difficult for a big entity to do that. So what you can do is, if all the businesses that have an investment arm, don't create that new CSR department. Don't do it. Instead, invest those dollars through your marketing department or whatever is going to make you feel good about it. Invest those dollars in testing something new or different so we can see what works and what doesn't. And the most important part of testing is opening up that data for everyone to see. Because one of the biggest challenges...
Right, because they're testing it in a vacuum and they might learn something, but that knowledge isn't being shared.
Yeah, we don't have open data standards. The cities that are doing this well have open data standards. So they can say, look, I know this initiative makes us feel real good, but it's not working. And so when you start testing and you can actually look at data, you can start to say, this works, this doesn't work, and we should start investing in more of these types of solutions. But we've gotten so uncomfortable with open data because it scares us on
Well, because most experiments fail, and nobody wants
Fear
to be...
Fear of failure.
Right, and nobody wants to say, hey, that was on my watch, six things failed, right?
And who are the people in this country that can take the biggest risk? Entrepreneurs. They do it day in, day out. They put themselves, they're a walking risk, right?
Right.
And so what the Center for Civic Innovation has become is the city's department of failure. So we say, that's fine. We love it. It's great. Come to us. Come test some of these entrepreneurs who are working day in, day out to look at these challenges on the ground. That's too important to not invest in.
Now, is your center just Atlanta-centric or it's more than that?
Atlanta's home for us. It's where we're going to start. And if that's where we succeed and that's only where we succeed, we won.
Mm-hmm.
But this model that we are approaching, it's based upon pay for performance, which actually started around energy movements where companies would go into governments and say, hey, only pay me if I actually reduce your bill a bit. And that this was a big movement in the 80s to get governments to do that, and that's how they were getting a lot of those contracts. But we've lost that concept for other social programs. Is this, let's pay for what works and don't pay for what doesn't. Mm-hmm. That's a movement that's happening across cities, across the country. And I think Atlanta is starting to embrace it.
So then if it happens here and it starts working, it's logical then to share it with other cities, right? Because you want to get best practices for wherever that, you don't care if it comes from Wichita.
That's the Atlanta way. We share our recipe, right? Right? So, and everyone can eat. And that's, we're cool with that. I think that that's why Atlanta's so special.
Mm-hmm. So you think that, do you think that that's true, that Atlanta brings together a lot of people that are open to collaboration, we're good sharers, and some other parts of the country this couldn't work at? I mean, we hear that. We deal with startups all the time, and we talk about the ecosystem here, like from technology startups, where there's a lot of collaboration, a lot of groups that kind of work together, and then we get people from the Northeast, say, for example, that they'd be like, this would never fly. And that culture is just different. You get kind of that Southern hospitality where we're good with, you know, we're better in some things.
Well, that's why Atlanta just does a bad job of telling its story. But the truth of this is, if you're from New York and you go to some sort of global or national competition and you say, hey, I want my startup to expand around the country, no one's going to ask you any questions. When you go to Atlanta and you say, hey, I want to do something here in Atlanta, it's going to be strong, it's going to be great, people say, so how are you going to expand out to all those other cities? You would never ask an entrepreneur that if they weren't from Atlanta. But we ask those questions to Atlantans for no reasons. So I think it's actually, we do have a different culture. It's based on trust. It's based on relationships, and that's something that you have to cultivate. And I guess you get away with not having that in other places, which is why, you know, people do not trust when someone comes in from another city and says, let me implement my solution to your neighborhood. It doesn't work. Mm-hmm. They've been burned too many times by that model. It doesn't work.
So then, Howard, how does the center help companies and organizations kind of get the word out of the good work that they're doing? Now you have to fix this for us. Go, Howard.
they come hang out with you and talk about it.
I think it's very much about connecting the different people that have been at this table, and companies who are seeking new solutions who don't know exactly the way to do it. We want to introduce them to the Center for Civic Innovation. For companies that are trying to implement solutions that are appropriate within the city and that the city government can be engaged with, I want them to be engaged with the city's Office of Sustainability and Stephanie. We want students to be working for these companies and for these not working with these nonprofits on projects. And we want to bring together discussions that need to happen that weren't otherwise happening. That's one of the great things that the Center for Civic Innovation does, is bring together civic engagement and discussions that need to happen. And with Georgia Tech and the new commitment over the next 10 years to change undergraduate education related to sustainability and community engagement, with the people who are leading sustainability and other issues at the city, I think it's a right time to have all those conversations. And I think, therefore, companies, both entrepreneurs as well as startups as well as large corporations, are going to have a greater and greater opportunity to not only tell their story, but to see what the challenges are, understand what the challenges are, and find ways to truly innovate solutions.
So are you bullish, bearish, optimistic? Where are you at?
Very bullish. Very bullish about Atlanta, about what the mayor's office and the Center for Civic Innovation and Georgia Tech are all doing for Atlanta. But I'm also very bullish about people who think that it's too late for climate change and not enough change is happening. With the amount of change that is truly happening at the civic and social level and at the environmental level, both in terms of new ways of engaging people in discussions and making change, as well as technological innovations that are happening at places like Georgia Tech and with companies that are investing in it, I think that all these changes, both from climate change all the way down to local food security, the solutions are there, and people are more and more looking for those solutions and engaging in them.
Well, Rohit, if somebody wanted to learn more, where should they go?
CivicAtlanta.org.
Stephanie?
www.p2catl.com, and that stands for Power to Change. That's the city's sustainability plan and initiative.
And Howard, if somebody wanted to learn more about your good work, where should they go?
The Scheller College's website, Scheller, which is Scheller.gatech, as in Georgia Tech, GATECH.edu. And from there, you can go to centers and find our center, as well as all the other things going on at Georgia Tech and Scheller.
Well, thank you for putting this group together. It's important work, and we're happy to tell the story that you guys are up to.
Thank you for having us in. It's been a delight, and thank you, Rohit and Stephanie, for joining.
Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you next time on Atlanta Business Radio.